Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta is sued for tricking flyers about refunds. No, wait, that could never happen. And Miami has a great idea about how to make getting on a cruise that much easier. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we discuss facial recognition. Disney is using it now. Is it too late to opt out of having your picture taken, or can you still preserve your privacy?
At 11:35, road reporter Clayton Whitehead joins us to share his wisdom on the latest travel trends he has seen as he roves around the planet. Are U.S. visitors still welcome despite the political fallout? What should you know to be smarter when you travel? Clayton has some thoughts.
In our odds and ends roundup at 11:55, we go slightly off subject and tell you which city's Wallet Hub says are best for professional and college basketball teams.
Thanks for joining us live or on the podcast. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, stuck here in Rancho Cordova. Halfway across the country, my buddy Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark's on, leg two of the old highway.
Second version of the Chicago to Oklahoma City run on Route 66. Weather out here is darn near perfect. We're dodging. The weather in the Midwest isn't perfect, but where we've been, it's been pretty much perfect. A little cold in Chicago, but we've made our way through Illinois and into Missouri, and spending a little time around St. Louis up in the Arch yesterday, and then we'll head on to on across Missouri and Oklahoma, finish in Oklahoma City on Thursday, and be back home. And in the fall, we will do the other half of the old highway. Folks out here are starting to see some of the effects of the attention that Route 66's Centennial is getting, and starting to feel the presence of some of the visitors and stuff like that are coming. I think over the summer there's going to be a tremendous number of people. The fact that this occurs on the country's 250th anniversary, I think really gives those two things tie well together. If you're looking for a way to celebrate America, there would be no better way than to pick off a slice of this old highway. And if you're looking for places, for some place to give you some wisdom or some suggestions on where to go and what to see, just Google up Route 66 Centennial and a gazillion things will come up. We're going to tell you about a contest that booking.com is running a little bit later on in the program. So, great way to celebrate America's birthday, or even if you just went to one of these places, if you happen to live somewhere nearby. Of course, Route 66 doesn't come through Sacramento, but the old historic Lincoln Highway and US 40 and the Pony Express Trail, and Sacramento certainly has its share of historic roads.
It's about getting out on the open road, which now is getting a little bit pricey. So I don't know how that's going to affect it. But, you know, the diehards and people that really want to do it are going to do it anyway, huh, Mike?
Yeah, that's very true. And I always have to tell you, being in small towns in Illinois and Missouri, and you go into a restaurant and you see that, you know, the best steak in the house is $29.95 instead of, you know, $50 or something like that. So it's the prices here are different. These people are paying upwards of over $4 to $4.50 for gas, which they think is just, you know, we would think, but we died and gone to heaven. But, of course, the difference is that our air is a little better to breathe than places. Anyway, those are political things, and this is not a political program. So we are having a great time out on Route 66. And if you're really looking for an all-American adventure, you know, especially if you're going to visit relatives this summer in Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, New Mexico, the Texas Panhandle, any place like that, why, maybe some of Route 66 is right in the backyard of where you're going to visit, and you'd have a chance to go out and hit up a few of these old landmarks. Remember, the things on Route 66 are things that people put out here half a century ago, sometimes even longer than that, just trying to get people to slow down and maybe get off the highway and spend a dollar or two. So that's still what's going on with the flashing right lights behind beside the interstate. This was just a different time and a different place.
Cool. I'm going to ask you probably a very silly question, but the song goes, if you ever plan to motor west. So, you know, the push has always been to the West Coast by way of Route 66. Is it any different if you're traveling east?
I've never done it. I can't imagine doing it that way. like you said, the song says, if you ever plan to motor west,
right.
take the highway. My way, that's the best.
Yep.
It really and truly, if you have an option and you're going to do the whole highway, you should go to Chicago and work your way west, especially the fact that if you live in the west, then that's an extra reason to do it that way. It's ever changing, and every state is very different along the way. And that's part of the whole attraction to the whole route, is that it is different all along the way. So it really is a slice of America. There's no East Coast because it starts in Chicago, but the rest of the country is pretty well represented.
Well, there you go. From the Route 66 expert that I know, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's version, let's once again go to Mark Hoffman. Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, the shutdown of Spirit Airlines caused Delta Airlines to be in the news. Actually, Delta's in the news for a couple of different reasons this week. But first of all, Delta is offering, it's one of the airlines that's offering discounted fares. If you are holding a Spirit Airlines ticket, even if you're getting a refund for it, if you're still planning on traveling, Delta is one of the major airlines that are offering some emergency fares. So if you've got a Spirit ticket, rather than just go and pay full fare for replacement, it's possible that you can save some money, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't get your ticket refunded. And remember, if you're holding a Spirit ticket and you paid for it with a credit card, forget all of this refund nonsense. Just go to your credit card company and decline the charge. Done. Finished. It's over. They didn't provide the service that you paid for. There's no discussion to be had here. Your credit card company will probably send you something that you have to complete by email. But you don't have to wait for Spirit to send you their money back. They promised that they would refund tickets that were not used within 8 to 10 business days. So that will be upon us pretty soon. But you really don't have to do that. You can just go back to your credit card company and get it. Anyways, Delta Airlines, not in addition to offering discounted fares, is also offering senior flight attendants and pilots from Spirit the opportunity to apply for employment at Delta Airlines. So taking advantage of the fact that there may be possibly some things in the Spirit wreckage to go out and reclaim, Delta Airlines has stepped up and is trying to go after some of their staff. Now, this is something that Delta's also in the news for, and they're probably not quite as happy about this. A Delta passenger has filed a class action lawsuit against the airline for trying to deceive passengers into accepting vouchers with expiration dates on them. In some cases, the expiration dates only being months after the incident occurred. It's a 16-page complaint. It charges the airline with, let me just give you an example here. Lady bought a fully what she was told and shows in her evidence presentation that she bought a fully refundable ticket on Delta Airlines. The flight didn't go. Delta offered her, sent her to a website where, you know, Tom, how you pull up a website page or you have a link and it opens up to a page on the website and you can see the whole page on the website, except it isn't the whole page. It's just what you can see. And if you go to the side and you move down a little bit, you see that, oh, there's more to this page than I can actually see. Mm-hmm. So what Delta did was they created a page where, and they pre-populated the page as though you were already accepting the voucher offer. And you couldn't see the cash refund offer because it was, as they like to say in the old newspaper days, below the fold.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pulled up the website, all you saw was this way to get your money back. And many people were perhaps deceived into thinking that that was the only way to get their money back. And so they accepted that offer when in actuality Delta was bound by law to offer you a cash refund for the ticket and instead gave you a voucher which expired. And we all know what happens. So all those vouchers don't get used. So in essence, Delta was pocketing some of the money. This is a pretty well laid out complaint from what I've seen here. I've done a little homework on it, and I think that something might come of this if indeed the below the fold thing is accurate.
Wow.
And it appears to be when you look on the website. It's down now. It's not there now. And of course, it was only visible to people who were seeking a refund for a canceled flight. So, you know, I guess technically Delta was meeting the rule, but not on any form or any level of good faith. And I would think a court of law would probably agree with the fact that if they were trying, if their intent was to deceive the passengers, and if it's not visible until you go, until you scroll down, I guess you could say people should be smart enough to scroll down, but gosh, you'd like to think, you know,
all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It does. And so good for this person for calling Delta Airlines onto it. Our friends at Travelers United are saying that it might not just be Spirit that goes extinct from the list of available airline choices in the coming weeks and months, especially if the situation in Iran continues on. They say that JetBlue Airlines is very cash poor right now, and that the jet fuel prices are eating up their cash balance very quickly. They have lost money for 6 years. They lost money in the most recently reported quarter. It doesn't look good for JetBlue Airlines. If you remember, they tried to merge with Spirit at one point, and I don't know that that would have been a good idea either. But JetBlue may be next to go. Many of these low-cost airlines petitioned the government, as we reported in the last couple of weeks, for some dollars to help offset these fuel costs. That money has not been forthcoming. But anyway, Travelers United says JetBlue, Avelo Airlines, which is not Avelo Airlines, which is not here on the west in Sacramento, Allegiant Air, which does fly a very limited schedule from here, and Sun Country Airlines might also be on that endangered list. And they simply said to folks, if you're flying with one of those low-cost carriers, it's a tough time for them right now. It might be strongly suggested to you that the only way you do business with those people is with a credit card, so that if something goes wrong, you can get your money back.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I mean, if the airline stops flying, why then you want to be able to have some leverage, and that's the way you have leverage. As we mentioned earlier, if you had a Spirit ticket, just go to your credit card company. Don't deal with all the nuisance and just, you know, they were out of business. I didn't get to fly this, so I want my money back. It's part of the credit card, the agreement you signed with the credit card company.
You know,
80% of – oh, go ahead.
I did read, and I mentioned this on the air a week ago. We talked about if you had used a debit card versus a credit card. And I had read that that they were going to go ahead and honor both credit card and debit cards for purchases for refunds. So if you had a debit, don't ignore it. You can possibly get your money back as well.
Well, that's definitely good news. We had talked about in months past that the World Cup would be bringing a lot of foreign football fans, hopefully, to the country. They would spend a lot of money and then go home, and that would be very good for the coffers of the United States. It appears as though that's not exactly what's materializing. The geopolitical situation around the planet and the fact that the United States has made it a little harder to get in here, and that many countries are having to pay additional fees in order to get into the United States, apparently is indeed keeping some folks from coming. Some hotels, 80% of hotels say that World Cup bookings are missing the forecast. The reasons I just mentioned could be part of the problem, but it also could be that these hotels overestimated what the demand might be and came up with rates that people are just not willing to pay. So it may very well be that if you're just looking at hotels and they're saying business is off in these 11 target World Cup cities, it could be that just those hotels' business is off. Let's wait and see. Maybe people have decided to come and not stay at the hotel that used to cost $250 a night and now is costing $450, and rather has found something on the perimeter of the city that's, you know, $175 a night or something like that, and just have decided to save some money. So it could be that the lack of response is because of the high hotel prices. We'll just have to wait and see.
You know,
I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I got a short comment on that, if I may. People are probably going to wait to buy their tickets to the matches until they know whether they can find a place that's reasonably priced to stay. So I bet if you look, you'll find that ticket sales also could be down at this point in time. And I think one might drive the other.
Well, and also, Tom, the other thing is that if you're coming from a country, a second-tier country, where it's taking longer for visa clearance, I agree with you, people would be more inclined to travel. There's a good segment of travelers who, under any circumstances, wait till the last minute to go because they have a medical issue or a personal situation or something that's evolving that they don't know. But it may not be possible to get into the United States on very short notice. So I'm not so sure. I mean, you people in government have made their bed, and now I think it's time to sleep in it. That might be unfortunate for some folks, some of my tourism partners, but also if they have set their prices too high and overestimated what demand might be, why then that's all part of supply and demand is all part of business too. So if they made that mistake, that's nobody's fault except their own. Booking.com has an ultimate Route 66 road trip, contest that they are offering. It only costs a dollar to book it. It celebrates the iconic highway's 100th birthday. There are several different itineraries. Most of them evolve around the New Mexico region. They will take place in late June. If you have an interest in that, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and there you will find a link to Booking.com's ultimate Route 66 road trip. Perhaps you will win yourself a great package. Comes with $10,000 in spending script also to cover all of your expenses. American Airlines is reporting that starting June the 1st, they are upgrading the food that they sell in the back of the plane. You know, if you're in the front of the plane in business or first class, then your food is included. But if you're in the back of the aircraft, then you didn't get a chance to grab something and, you know, during your connection or something, while you're at the mercy of the food on the planes. And if you read comments by airline passengers, you will find very quickly that American serves, by far the least desirable stuff in the back. So anyway, they have announced the points guy, Gary Leff, blog announced that American Airlines is refreshing its buy on board food for sale program in economy. So if you were an American Airlines flyer starting May the 1st, you got some extra choices of yummy things to buy, at least yummy things if you're starving to death on an airplane. Speaking of being on an airplane, a woman was arrested and caused a Delta flight to be delayed because she refused to hang up her phone before takeoff, according to the airline. This involved a flight, Delta flight from Miami to Atlanta. From Atlanta to Miami. This lady was chatting on her phone as the plane was taxiing out. The flight attendants came and personally asked her to complete her call and hang up. She not only refused to do it, but she gave the flight attendants enough grief that they went up and told the pilot. He turned the plane around, took it back to the gate. A Delta supervisor came on the plane and asked the lady to get off. She refused. Police department came on the plane and told the lady to get off. She refused. So all the passengers had to get off of the plane, which was, remember, already taxiing out for takeoff, had to go back to the gate. Everybody had to get off. And then the lady had to physically be removed from the aircraft.
Oh my.
So this little incident, the fine is up to $10,000 and she could get up to a year in jail. So let's hope that the judge gives her more than just a slap on the wrist. I'm sure the 156 people who were with her on the plane and the crew members probably hope that People like me can report that this lady, you know, spent a couple weeks in the pokey or was out 10 grand for this stunt so that somebody doesn't pull something like that again. Ever been on a plane when somebody did something like that, Don?
I have not. I have not. And listening to that, I don't want to be. You know, I mean, right for sale, that'd be kind of interesting just to watch and see. No, man.
Yeah, it would be until...
That's terrible.
Until you realize that now you're not going to make your connection.
Yeah, no.
You know, because of some...
That's sad.
Something that somebody was pulling on the plane. Miami, and here's our last story here for the travel news for today. Miami is proposing a direct plane, a direct train from the airport to cruise terminals. You know, imagine if you could get off a cruise ship and at the port and claim your luggage and go, you know, 100 yards across the parking lot or something like that and get on a nonstop train to the airport. Would that not make that whole process one heck of a lot easier?
Wow.
I don't know about the inbound as much, but yeah. And they say there are stories in Miami of people who the traffic is so bad around the port sometimes that people have to, you know, ditch their ride a mile from the terminal and drag their bags and run to catch their ship. So, you know, maybe there's a better way to do this. That's the good news. The bad news is that there's no money budgeted for this yet. And Miami says that it could be 2050 before it comes to be. So thank goodness for good ideas. Too bad that they might not come to be for another 20-something years. But that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Coming up, facial recognition. Is it too late to opt out of having your picture taken? Find out next here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. And a good morning to you. All right, Mark, here we go into the final segment of the first half of the show. Going to talk about facial recognition. So I understand Disney is now using facial recognition. But, you know, they've been taking my picture for years. I don't know what they do with it. But
See? So you would be one of those people, I guess, who would fit into the category of this is just part of the world as it is today, and it doesn't concern me too much. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. And when they started using it, it did seem that once they took your picture the first time, it did help get you through the line a little quicker.
Yeah, well, and that seems to be a really important consideration for people that are, you know, trying to get into a theme park. They've paid God knows how much money, over $100 in many cases, to get in for the day. So, and there's a big crowd, and they've come out early to try to beat the crowd, and, you know, they're going to run to the back of the park and work their way forward and do all the things that a smarter traveler does. But it's all of that stuff about getting your picture taken. Remember last week we were telling people that if you wanted to get through TSA pre-check quicker, mm-hmm. that there was a biometric way for you to agree to be able to be identified by your eyes and therefore be able to do a line cut. And a lot of people have done this and listened during the situation with the whole TSA and the workers not coming to work because they weren't getting paid and stuff. In the airports that had this, I watched it happen in a couple places, and those people weren't delayed at all. I mean, they got through the line really, really, really quickly, like in a matter of a minute or two. So more and more, we are being asked to show our faces in order to prove our identity. And for a lot of folks, it's become a pretty normal part of life. An expert in security, in credit card security, however, pointed out something that I hadn't even thought about. And I just throw it out to people for consideration. And that is that if you lose your wallet and somebody gets your credit cards, or a thief figures out a way to hack into your account and get your credit information and cause all kinds of disturbances for you and cost you money, or you have to spend a lot of time tracking things down and getting things corrected, or maybe all you had to do was call the credit card company and say, hey, kill my card and send me a new one, and 3 days later, one arrived in the mail. That's great. It's easy to fix credit information in many cases. Not in all, but in a lot of cases, you lose something, it can be easily replaced. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay.
But okay.
So,
but
Yeah. But, and here's the but, your credit card number can be changed. You know, we can void the card ending in 1234 and send you a card ending in 5678. And that and everything will be wonderful. We can't change your face. Your biometrics stay the same. So if somebody steals your credit card information, that's something you can correct. If somebody steals your biometrics, that's something that doesn't change. That makes that information incredibly more valuable to thieves and bad people who would do bad things with your identity. So this credit card guy who's been in credit card security for over 2 decades suggested that we should be paying more attention to the security part of biometrics, because if those ever get stolen, that would be a big problem. And so that is your smarter traveler bit for this week, is do we really, is this really the direction we want to go? And if it is, then do we not need some more security around these things where we're having our picture taken?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, it just seems like every step forward and advancements and so forth always reveal a few things that we just didn't think of, that we have to take a few steps back and fix before we go charging too far into the woods.
Yeah, it is perhaps the case in this situation. It does kind of scream for a little closer look.
All right, we are the Travel Guys, a short time out. When we come back, Clayton Whitehead joins us here on the Travel Guys and talk about European travel and much, much more. Next on the Travel Guys.
Going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Hey, speaking of a world of adventure, if you've never been to the Rose Parade on New Year's Day in Pasadena, Sports Leisure Vacations can offer you that opportunity. Now, doing this on your own is a little bit of a hassle, but doing it as part of a group, this might be, even if you're not a group traveler, this might be your opportunity. The package includes airfare, tickets to watch the parade, but also, as important, just as importantly, the opportunity to see the floats being made before the parade. There's a day on Catalina Island and a host of other attractions that make this really an attractive 4-day, 3-night package in Southern California to ring in the new year. Sports Leisure Vacations and the Tournament of Roses Parade. You can check it out at sportsleisure.com.
Hey there, folks. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And today, also on the program, is Travel Guys road reporter Clayton Whitehead. Mark, what are we going to talk to Clayton about today?
Well, Clayton's been all over the place in the last couple of months, and he's getting ready for a trip to London, and he's got a trip to the Baltic area coming up in June. So he's been quite the road warrior. And there's a lot going on in the travel industry between the whole TSA thing. And now you've got the war in Iraq and the fuel prices skyrocketing, and whether or not there's going to be fuel every place for airlines this summer is now becoming a little bit. So Clayton is kind of the most worldly person on our team. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to get some of his input would be very valuable here. How's that sound, Clayton? Does that sound like a good setup?
That sounds great, Mark.
Tell us a little bit about your travels and where you've been and what you've seen and what your thoughts are from the last couple of months.
Well, as you said, Mark, I've got a number of European trips planned over the next few months. And I think it's safe to say that when you're going to a different continent, the single most critical thing that you have is your airline ticket, because, you know, you could always choose to drive to Iowa if you had to, but you can't drive to London. So with all of this news lately about the airline fuel situation, it's spurned a lot of concern and a lot of phone calls from travelers who have registered for my upcoming trips to England and the Baltic states. So I just kind of want to talk a little bit about air, and especially air as it relates to international travel. And just give the people some of my wisdom, I guess. So first of all, I'm a huge advocate for buying your ticket from the airline itself and not a low-cost portal. When things go right, you can argue it doesn't matter, and maybe you saved $100, and that's great. But when things go wrong, you'll find yourself much higher up the food chain, if you purchase directly from the airline and not cheapflights.com or whatever. And then on the days before your travel, and certainly throughout your journey, keep yourself informed of what's going on regarding your flights, to include conditions in your arrival and departure cities, and also any cities you might be connecting through. Staying informed, generally speaking, doesn't mean watching and reacting to reports on the evening news. I love the evening news. I think it's great. But, you know, the purpose of the media, I think, is often to excite rather than to inform. And they necessarily have to paint with a really, really broad brush. But when you're traveling, you need specific information because, let's face it, what really matters is your flight, not all the others. So I'm a huge advocate for relying upon the airline website and airline app. Even though I'll be the first to confess they don't always agree, but at least you're getting information from the source. And it's specific information. And also, I have to suggest, and maybe this is easy for me to say because I've been a road warrior now for a really, really long time. I'm coming up on my 45th anniversary of escorting my first tour. So I've been doing this for a minute, but I'll say that I have a really strong sense of intuition. And when something doesn't feel right, it generally isn't. So I am always looking at the airline app, and I am always just looking inside myself to see how something feels, and then reacting accordingly. And then I want to say a word about reaction. I've had some, God bless them, they're great people, some really great customers call, and they have asked me these very specific questions. Let's say regarding my upcoming flight to Estonia. And they're like, what if there's not jet fuel? What are we going to do? And I'm like, wow, I don't know what we're going to do. I can't know until the problem actually happens. You know what I mean? Wow. And I think we all know this in our heart and in our mind, but sometimes our mouth is going at a faster speed. You know, there's a million things that can go wrong. And for nearly everything that goes wrong, there is a solution. We can't solve the problem until we have the problem. That's the point I'm making. So, you know, if we run short of jet fuel or if something else happens, I'll react to it when it happens because it just happened. You know what I mean? It's like there are things that you can't really have a plan B until plan A has been canceled. And then you can have a plan B. So here's my sales pitch, if you will. Travel with somebody you love and respect and trust. That might be a relationship with a tour operation like Sports Leisure. That might be a relationship with a travel agent. That might be just traveling with a friend who maybe has done it before and who maybe knows the systems and the processes a little bit better than you. But, you know, if you're worrying all the time, you might as well stay at work. Part of travel is supposed to be fun. So let somebody else worry about it. And don't be a glasses half empty person. Just wait until the glass spills and then clean up the mess and then start looking at your solutions. And certainly, if you learn that your flight's been canceled, just react as quickly as you can, because there's going to be a lot of other people who are looking for a limited number of seats on the flights that will be operating. So you have to advocate for yourself. I mean, I think that's the sign of a smart traveler, being informed and advocating for yourself when it's needed.
Great words there, Clayton. You hit the nail right on the head. Take all of that to heart, folks. By the way, you're listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We have Clayton Whitehead, road reporter for Sports Leisure, with us today, talking about international travel and all the things that go with it. Mark, what's your thoughts?
Well, Clayton hit on a couple of really important things there. He talked about the importance of staying informed, and really and truly, different sources of information can be better or worse. I fly a lot of United Airlines. I find their app to be really terrific in keeping me informed. They don't always tell the truth, but at least they're keeping me informed about what's going on. Other airline apps get lesser reviews generally, but if you're flying, you've got to have the airline's app on your phone, and you have to know how to use it before you need it. So to put it on your phone, play with it while you're at home. If that's not something that you usually do, get somebody else to help you with it. That is your, that app can be your number one information source when something goes wrong. And the other thing is that Clayton's point about buying your ticket directly from the airline, boy, that really is great wisdom, because there is a pecking order. And now that we are so computerized and so automated and we've got AI and everything, don't think for a minute that the airlines aren't deciding when a flight gets canceled or is incredibly delayed, that they're not creating a pecking order of their own. This is who we're going to help first, and this is who we're going to help second. And this guy's a frequent flyer, and this lady is, you know, has some kind of special status or whatever. And if you don't have any of those things, then it can put you in a short spot. One thing you can do for yourself, join the frequent flyer program of whatever airline you're flying. Let's say you're flying Lufthansa on, you know, you've bought a, it's a United ticket, but the flight's actually on Lufthansa's, what they call Lufthansa's metal, Lufthansa's plane, then you want to be a member of the Lufthansa frequent flyer program. I don't care if you've never flown with them before, and I don't care if you're not going to fly with them ever again. You're flying with them now. You're on their airplane, or it might be Air Bolivia or, you know, South African Air or whomever it is. You should be a member of their frequent flyer program, because to Clayton's point again, that moves you one notch up the ladder. So it's, you know, if you're a member of the frequent flyer program, you've got their credit card, you've got status with the airline. Suddenly now you're not in the bottom tier of people that are going to be helped. You're in the top tier. So his points are all incredibly valid in terms of what you should do. And some of these things you can do proactively. You don't have to wait until there's a disaster. Right, Clayton?
Absolutely. I hate to be that person, but I'm always looking at my phone when I'm traveling, and I mean on travel days especially. I'm always looking at both the website and the app and comparing the information on the two, because they don't always agree. And you mentioned, God bless United. I love them, and they love me most of the time, but they don't tell the truth. So if you check both the website and the app, you know, maybe you're playing them a little bit against themselves, but I think you get a more accurate picture of reality. And then I look at the weather.com a lot, and the weather app on my phone, which, so I'm comparing those two, the way I do the United website and the app, looking for truth somewhere in between the two stories I'm getting. Cause obviously weather has a huge impact on air travel. So, and to monitor your connection cities as well, because like if you are flying in the United world, if something bad's happening in Houston, Chicago, Dulles, Newark, what have I left out, or Denver, it's going to affect you no matter where in the world you are and no matter where in the world you're going. You know, when a hub is affected, it affects you. So, you know, these are the things that I'm looking at in my attempt to get my group safely and on time to our initial destination, and then it trips in to get us safely and on time back home.
Let's shift gears just a teeny bit, a little introspective, something that I've often wanted to ask Clayton. I don't think we've had a chance on the program, and that is simply that a lot of people look at what you do as a tour director, traveling the world, seeing the great thing there is to see. Is this the dream job? Is this a dream job? And how do you view it, Clayton?
I go on vacation for a living, Tom.
Yeah.
And the reason I go on vacation for a living, and some of your listeners will remember this little jewel I'm about to mention, is because when I was in junior high school, a television show came on that revolutionized my life. And it was called The Love Boat. And The Love Boat was about people who go on vacation for a living and the people who go on vacation with them. And I was inspired. And that is truly how I came into this industry. That's how I sought out travel as a career. And that's how I ended up riding buses all over North America and then all over the world. I'll say that it is a dream career and it's been a wonderful life, but it's a real job. And it's a job that I guess like most professions have advantages and disadvantages, and it's got some strong consequences, like because I'm on the road so much, I can't have a pet or a plant. I don't excel in relationships. My house is always a mess. It's really, really hard to get laundry done. You never have fresh food in your refrigerator ever. It comes with some knocks.
Yeah.
And then there's the very big reality that in our case, in my case, I'm usually out with a group made up largely of very mature travelers, and they sometimes have special needs. They sometimes will have a crisis. There might be a medical emergency or who knows what, but you know, something that throws us all kind of into high alert. That's when you really earn your salary, but it also is a place where you can really
make a difference.
Well, it's a place that tests your heart, Tom.
Yeah.
It tests your heart.
Yeah.
It's hard to decide what to do when someone suffers an emergency of any type. But I think the stakes are particularly high when we're away from home, maybe far away from home, maybe sure. on a different continent. And the way I react has a lot to do, I think, with how that situation resolves itself, not only in the eyes of the traveler that is having the urgent situation, but in the eyes of all the travelers. You know, you're judged by how you react in stressful situations. I try to be very professional and compassionate at the same time. I try to be mindful of the fact that sometimes a situation needs a leader. And, you know, I try to be decisive, and it's like, okay, gang, this is what we're going to do. Like a couple years ago in Czech Republic, they had the rain event of the century, and the entire reason we went was rained out, not rained out, flooded out, critical floods all across the country. And we were there for the National Wine Festival that was completely canceled. I mean, the whole reason for our trip just disappeared. Along with a lot of bridges and a lot of roads, sometimes you just need a leader to tell you what to do next. And, okay, we're going to walk in the pouring rain, but we're tired of the hotel restaurant. So I found a pizza parlor, and we're going to go and have a pizza party in the Czech Republic. Why? Because it's something we can do, and it's going to be fun. So go get your coat on, and we're going to walk a block in the rain, and we're going to have fun. And you know what? We did have fun. We all drank way too much. I don't remember the walk home, but that's not a bad thing, because it was probably just more rain.
Well, there's a lot of responsibility, for the job that you and Mark both do, because you are responsible for your guests, the people that are on the tour, and... You know, I'm here again, folks. We're talking with Clayton Whitehead, road reporter, and Mark Hoffman. You guys have been doing this for 40 plus years. I would imagine some of those early trips when you had not been had all the seniority were probably a lot more dramatic. But now it sounds like you're ready to go. Clayton, you certainly have a good attitude. And if I were traveling, I would feel very comfortable based on what I know about you and the things that you've said. That everything is going to be okay.
I'm reminded of one of the very first trips I ever did. Now, I was just a teenager, and I was taking a group through a nature preserve. So we were down a wooded trail deep, deep into a forest, and I had a lady fall and break her leg. And after panicking and then thinking for a minute, I picked her up and I carried her out. She was a small lady. There was no way a truck, an ambulance or anything else was going to get to her. I picked her up and carried her out. And the next day, my boss called me in and congratulated me on my heroism and then told me why I could never, ever, ever do that again because I touched somebody and I did this and I did that. You know what? 45 years later, if it happened again under those same circumstances, you know what I'd do? I'd pick up the lady and I'd carry her out, because that was the right thing to do.
Clayton, thank you so much for your time today and all of your wisdom and some great stories. You're listening to The Travel Guys. When we come back, we're going to hit the odds and ends bucket to wrap up the show. Thanks for listening to us today on 1140 Sactown Sports.
Final segment of today's radio program, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. Remember, check us out at travelguysradio.com. All right, Mark, it's odds and ends segment time here. And we're going to talk about a recent survey from our friends at Wallet Hub, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I have a couple of that's the tease. You have to hang on just about one more minute to hear about that. Couple of odds and ends left over from the front half of the program here. The FAA chief predicts there will be fewer air traffic control delays this summer because they are chipping away at the shortage of controllers and there will be more people in place to help the airplanes fly. Also, they are doing an overhaul of a lot of the systems and technology that they use at the FAA, and that is going to result in speedier computers and make the whole system run better and faster and all that jazz. So that's a very, very, very good thing if you're flying this summer. All right. We told folks that we would go just a little bit off track. Not that people don't travel to basketball games, because they do.
Yes.
But Wallet Hub has a survey here of best and worst cities for basketball fans in the country. And I thought since Sacramento is home of the beloved but never all that successful Sacramento Kings, people might be interested to know where Sacramento landed on that list. Now, there are actually three lists that the Wallet Hub people put out. One is for professional basketball, one is for collegiate basketball, and one is a combined score. The folks that the methodology that they use includes, how many professional teams are there in the area? For example, Los Angeles ranks very high because they have two teams in town. So the opportunity to see professional sports is greater. What is the cost of the ticket as opposed to the average income for the area is another thing that Wallet Hub looks at. They have a whole long list of things that of criteria that they use to in order to determine. And as I mentioned, Los Angeles gets the number one overall ranking. They were second as the NBA rank, and they were also second as the NCAA rank. So Boston comes in second. We're talking about overall rankings now. San Francisco, Miami, Salt Lake, Philadelphia, Houston, New York, Cleveland, and Milwaukee round out the top 10. Those, of course, are all NBA cities. But when you think about it, those are also all strong cities when it comes to college sports also. So where did Sacramento end up on these lists? Sacramento on the NBA-only list is 11th, which I will suggest to you is pretty impressive for a city that really has had precious few things to cheer about since the NBA came to town. You know, we had that one good run there in the early 00s where we got within an eyelash of the NBA Finals once. But, the fans in Sacramento have supported, let's face it, a not-so-good team most of the time. Sacramento comes in 11th on the NBA list. Then we've switched to the college list, and Sac State had a few good years under Coach Brian Katz a little ways back, but by and large, it's been pretty dismal, and we don't have other major colleges. You know, we don't have a, top 20 perennial college team anywhere close here. Stanford, I guess, maybe once in a while. Cal on a very rare occasion, but those places are a long ways away. Sacramento comes in 296th in the college ratings. Just to give you an idea, the only ratings only went to a little over 300. So as a good-sized city when it comes to the NCAA, Sacramento finishes poorly. But that NBA ranking of being the 11th best NBA city leaves Sacramento 20th ranked in basketball cities for all over the country. And I thought that's pretty impressive considering there's no college champion here and there's no NBA champion or close to it, fans in Sacramento are doing a pretty good job of supporting basketball, which Wallet Hub says is the second most popular sport on the planet. Football is first.
Well, my friends, that wraps up another Travel Guys radio program. Thanks for joining us. Mark, last word.
Last words. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.